Welcome back to the Academy Football Network podcast. Part 3, Darren shares a difficult time in Academy football and what gets him through those tough times. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. Big Z made a banger.
Development, transition into the first team, you pushing people up, then also you receiving people in regards to young people and players and what that looks like and what you see. What you just talked about before in regards to kind of those kind of senior players kind of leads me on to talking about staffing and kind of what people you've had around you. So you talk about in your earlier days in regards to, let's call them mentors, Peter Taylor, Robbie. To your mentoring type people around you, was that sort of still in your forefront when you kind of went into, I'm the manager now, I give that advice to people? We talked about that as well in regards to apprentices you had who you've developed, but in regards to staffing, what does that look like for you to support the environment for in a youth environment or in a senior environment?
Well, I had the best CPD ever, because when I became manager of Stevenage, they gave me an advisor. And they gave me Glenn Roder, who's managed Newcastle, West Ham, worked with Hoddle, with England in the World Cup, with Michael Owen, went past 900 players and smashed in the top corner. And I had him for 2.5 years. And I've still got him, because I still speak to him 2 or 3 times a week, because he still takes me to school every time I speak to him. Because he's got this resource of knowledge, and he's got this resource of toughness. I mean, I remember one day I was having a particularly bad time at Stevenage, and I drove in the car park, and there was a dozen fans there, and there was a bit of a campaign to get me the sack, right? So they've got like this banner sale out and all that mumbo jumbo. And I drove in, and I'd pick Glenn up. So I picked Glenn up, and we're driving in, we see it, and I went, that's all I need, Glenn, blimey. They're right on me, ain't they? And he just went, ha! Try managing West Ham. And it just fizzled into took insignificant. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, like, you know, mentoring and support and things like that. And I got out of the car definitely bigger than how I felt 10 seconds before. Yeah. So that I had that CPD for 2.5 years. And like I said, I still use it all the time. I've always enjoyed working with older people, because you can learn off older people. And going back to John McDermott again, John McDermott has a saying, respect the grey hair. And his staffing team, especially at Tottenham, was like a plethora of experience. I mean, incredible experience around him. Players that have played for England, players that have, you know, won league titles and were in their 60s and things. And then he'd have young ones around him, like Scott Parker was there when I used to go in, Matt Wells, who's now with Scott at Fulham. Yeah. People like, and then he'd have the young ones with him, you know, running around with the energy and the excitement of being a coach for the first time. But behind it all, he had these, you know, respect the grey hair. And I've always really liked that. And I don't know why, but I've always ended up working with older people. My coaching staff now at Yeovil, I'm the youngest person. My assistant's 45. The goalie coach is 43. The physio's 39. Everyone out there is thinking,
you're
not 37. I said, I've oiled you laid for about an hour before I've come on this. But I've always tried to work with someone who is going to have the character, experience, vision, foresight to be able to work with someone like me who's very demanding.
Do you try and balance your characters around, or is that part of your thinking?
Sometimes you don't get a choice.
You know what? I can't have two Darrens in the building.
Sometimes you don't get a choice.
Yeah.
I came to Yeovil. I didn't have a backroom team. Terry was the head of coaching, and I said, Terry, I need your help, and he's never left, and I've never wanted him to leave. And he's a brilliant balance to me at my stage of my career, because Terry still loves coaching. Like, that's the thing he gets up in the morning for. And my job is to be a manager rather than a coach full time now. So he's perfect for me in that sense. Great experience, been a manager, been a player, been a coach, been a developer. So he's had all these types of experiences, and a really resilient guy. So if at any point, you know, we hit bumps, which we do all the time in a season, he's got that strength. Come on, let's keep pushing. just keep pushing, we'll get there, we'll be fine. And they're the types of people, I think younger people will always look to reinvent the wheel. I certainly did. Yeah. I remember when I was first appointed at Stevenage, I had my strategy and my philosophy of, you know, how, and that's how I used to speak, and we're going to play this and we're going to do that. and after nine games, I'd won two. So my philosophy ain't very good.
Yeah.
Because I won two in nine. And then, you know, you work through it and you work around it. But going back to Watford, the staffing we had there was incredible, you know, right at the end. I mean, we had Gavin Strachan, who's now at Celtic. Graham Stack, I brought into the club. Hayden was there, but, was, you know, has done fantastically well. Tom Hart was as good as I've seen. Jimmy Martin is a first-team manager in the future, without a shadow of a doubt. So we had brilliant staff. We had you, we had Nath. We had a brilliant staffing team full of expertise and knowledge. But the best thing that we did is we did everything together. Nothing was departmentalised. We did everything together. And I think that's the key for me when I work with any team.
I think going back to what you kind of talked about in terms of developing the family, I think that's probably where you go with it. You go, listen, I want everyone round it. I want everyone...
Involved, social is really important.
Yeah.
I spend more time with Terry than I spend with any family member, because I'm with him 12 hours a day all the time. So I socialise with him, I work with him professionally. But when I was at Watford, I did the same with the players at Watford, with the staff at Watford. And when I was at Stevenage, I did the same with Glenn Rhoda and Nicky Shorey. I was with them all the time. I socialised with them. They became my
family.
They become my world. Because we're in such an intense environment, you know, you have to build that. I'm really big on that, and I do look after my staff. People can say whatever they like about me as a character, as a coach, or as a football man, or dad, or whatever. But I always take care of my staff, and I wrap them up, and I make sure I protect them, and try and push them, and move them on as much as I can.
Okay, so time at Watford, achievements. How did you feel about that? What was your achievements there?
I loved my time at Watford.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I still consider it the best 8 months' work I've ever done. I thought the things that I take from Watford, you know, I left the team in the semi-final of the FA Youth Cup. They hadn't done that for a couple of decades. That was okay. I had a great relationship with Javi Gracia.
Yeah.
I loved the team that was around me. The staffing team, it became a real, I enjoy going to work, I really enjoy going to work. The education was a big thing for me, it always was, and you know, when I worked with Nathan, it was, I think I made it clear from day one, education and football go hand in hand, and you know, I'm sure Nath would have alluded to this over time, but the actual performance academically there at the time wasn't great. And by the time, you know, as I saw it, when I left the club, you know, we was in our high 90s in terms of targets and not in our mid-60s. And I thought, you know, that's a big thing for me. It's a big thing because I was a failed footballer.
I think it's important, and probably that becomes important to you because of exactly that.
Definitely.
You know what, I left at 16 and left at 18 in regards to being an apprentice, and that's important. So I know how that feels, whereas maybe other academy managers or management go,
yeah,
we're just thinking, focusing around the football, which you still do get in terms of environment.
Well, I love the American model.
Yeah.
So the student-athlete sort of structure for me is how we should adopt for our young footballers. Because if you don't hit a certain grade point average in the States, you don't play sport.
Yeah, forget it.
So it again develops resilience, having to make sure you get your work done. Sometimes you have to stay up late, sometimes you have to get up early, but we've got to go through a bit of a struggle to get it done. It takes discipline, you know. So I'm really big on academically. Football is a bonus in life, and you're going to finish pretty much whatever the level at 35. So you've got to have these foundations that are not going to finish at 35. They're going to last you a lifetime, and you know, and that's my parents, you know, sort of values bringing me up there, because I didn't touch a ball unless I'd done my schoolwork. So I was always okay. So I ended up academically, you know, achieving really good grades, because I guess a bit of fear for taking football away from my life, but because I knew that I had to do it. And I think when you say to yourself, am I a winner? I don't think winning attributes itself to just playing a game of football. If you're a winner, you're a winner.
I do remember that does ring through me, to be fair, in regards to working with you, in regards to what you used to say to the players, in regards to, listen, it's not about just winning on the football pitch, it's about winning in the classroom, it's about winning
absolutely
with your sports science, it's about winning in the gym, it's about you kind of develop a person. If you're a winner all round,
yeah,
and you want to achieve all round, because we're talking about achievements, then that's going to impact, they're going to overlap and impact in yeah other areas. So you do see it. The players that you go, really, really good player, you go, actually, they adapt that attitude to
absolutely
everything they do.
Very much so.
And it even reminds me when you're in school and you got that player's good at all sports and you go, they want to win at everything.
Absolutely,
they're not going to let me do nothing, which is quite
interesting. But you should be developing. That's an elite environment.
Yeah.
An elite environment's tough. If it wasn't elite, it'd be grassroots environment.
Yeah.
It'd be less tough. Mm. But it's a tough 0.02% again. Mm. I mean, how many are getting through?
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to go even deeper on it, our young England players now, they won't even stay away from parties in order to play for their country.
Yes,
they don't.
They find it tough, yeah.
I never saw Gerrard do that at 18,
yeah,
19. I never saw Scholes doing that.
Yeah.
Beckham, but all of those. So, you know, listen, I'm sure there's examples somewhere down the line. I'm sure Gazza did something silly or at some point. But
there is an example somewhere.
But you know, I think it does follow trends, definitely.
I think what it gives me an insight of is sort of, you, the person, your upbringing, is kind of ingrained in your coaching. Young coach, hearing things being echoed to you,
yeah,
that kind of repetition yeah of development,
yeah,
for you,
yeah,
has definitely been a balance of Darren as the person and Darren as the coach,
yeah,
which you don't often hear about.
But I must say, biggest achievement at Watford was the support I got from the players through a tough time. That is the biggest achievement at all.
I have got a note down in regards to, I've got it here, it just says Darren the person, to be fair. But what that means to me is that, yeah, you had a difficult time, don't get
yeah
me wrong. And what did that look like for you? Because you don't often hear about those sorts of things. That kind of
yeah
becomes sort of a misty area
yeah
where you go, how long was it for? Or what actually happened
yeah
in that area? Or did it actually really happen? Because all of a sudden, he's a manager again.
Yeah.
So everything must be all right.
Yeah.
So you don't often hear about what
no
kind of goes on in the experience.
No, it's not nice.
Yeah.
You know, by that time, I felt I had good resilience. I've been a first team manager.
Yeah.
You know, campaigns to get me the sack. That, yeah, you know, I'd gone through a lot. So when we talk about layers of resilience, always felt that I was kind of strong, but it knocks you for absolute six. And in that moment, who looks after me?
Yeah.
Who looks after me? Because, you know, I'm a human being. Everyone's a human being. Someone's got to, I'm guessing, if we're going down the route that everyone's going down, someone's got to see if I'm all right. So I did that all on my own, which is fine. And it helps me. It helps me now in my job as a manager, because losing a game and getting booed off or something like that, it doesn't even touch me. I don't even hear it. Whereas before that would have got to me. But you again, layers make you better as a person, your experiences, your resilience. So all of those things.
But do you also go sometimes? Actually, it would be nice to speak to someone about it, or would be nice to.
Oh, well, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, the LMA were top draw.
Yeah.
Absolutely top draw. You know, and supported me on so many different levels. but I spoke to someone. I'm happy to, and I'm happy talking about it now.
Yeah.
I think depression is like everything, when it comes round, we all hang on the next thing we do. It's human nature. We all jump on it, and then that moves along. We jump on the next thing, and then we all move. That happens. And I wouldn't say I was depressed, because there are people with that illness that are seriously ill through depression.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel very nice in the morning. Mm. It certainly didn't feel very nice. I was very lucky at the time that I had so many friends in football that I kept myself busy. And I went and watched training at places. I was always with Paul Tisdale and Matt Oakley at MK Dons. And, you know, I could go into Stevenage if I wanted to. And I could, you know, I had a huge support network. I mean, professionally and personally. But you still have to go through it on your own. You know, I'd see my name in the paper. I'd see my name on, on articles and things like that. Which, that shouldn't really have happened. You know, if we're dealing with the human being, it should have been a close shop, really. But I'm a better manager for it now. I'm a better person for it now.
I think that's important to hear, really, and it's quite interesting in terms of you talking to people about it in regards to support for yourself, but also keeping yourself busy, because what you're going through as an individual, it's just, you never hear those things. Those things are not often said.
No.
Yeah.
No.
For whatever reason, I feel like it's the environment that does that to you sometimes.
But it can suffocate you.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had so many people have gone through what I went through, by the way. But I went through it at a Premier League club. That's kind of the difference.
Yeah.
And so many people ring me up who are going through it. And let me tell you, there are hundreds going through it every week. Hundreds. Some are in the wrong, some are in the right. You know, whatever, but it is rife. So when I get those phone calls, feel I'm in a pretty good place to calm someone down, reassure someone. It will be fine. Life will not end. It will be fine. You just got to move through. It's just another challenge that we get, and we all get challenges. You know, like one of my old scholars is having a real challenge. When I think, at the time when I'm going through it, I'm thinking to myself, is this really a challenge? I've got an ex-scholar that I speak to every two or three days. He's got cancer in his leg.
Wow.
And he's going through life-saving treatment on a weekly basis. I'm going through a difficult time. Mm. It will pass, but I'm going through a difficult time. And when you put things into context, it's always about contextualising things to people. They're the people that are really having battles out there. And, they're the ones that need our support, in my opinion, hugely. So, but... it happened again. The biggest thing, some of the players, some of the things the players sent me during that time, some of the photos, there was a thing that they were doing when they were scoring goals and things like that, blew me away. Absolutely took me off my feet. I was so humbled by their consciousness of what I was doing. Incredible, absolutely incredible. And they're, and maybe one day they're the ones that will come into that little group that...
They'll become coaches, maybe.
That I've got,
Yeah.
And they'll work for me, or they'll play for me, or something like that. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. Loads of kids, loads of game time. I played loads of 16s in the 18s, loads of 18s in the 23s.
Star football,
I was... Champion. I had to get the education officer out of the way because he was handy, so I finished him off pretty quickly. But I enjoyed everything about it. It was a really, looking back at it, it was a good experience. Life isn't easy, is it? It can't just be this floaty thing to the top where you just keep climbing and climbing and you get to the summit and it's like, that was easy, wasn't it? You got to jump and dodge and go through difficult periods. So I think it's a huge... I think resilient. Whenever I do these types of conversations, I always bring up resilience and how you develop it. And I haven't got all the answers. Let me tell you, I haven't got the answers. But I know it's a feat and a trade and a technique lacking. Because, like I said, the marketplace for footballers now... is so tough. It is brutal.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, what people say to each other on social media should be that should be a criminal act. Some of the things that get said.
That is definitely an environment that's grown in a negative sort of way, hasn't it?
It is. And when we hit COVID, the world did get a little bit nicer to each other for a period. You know, I'd go out running and people would go, morning, and hello, all right? And now we're back in it. They just put their head down and it... But some of the things that these human beings, just because they get paid a lot of money, doesn't change that they've got a heart, lungs, kidneys, arms and legs. They're still people. It's not their fault they get paid loads of money. It's not the players that I work with, it's not their fault that they don't get paid loads of money. You know, but they still get attacked in a way that is... I mean, you'd never dream of walking up to someone and using...
It's probably the only environment, yes, their fans invest in the club, but... probably the only environment that you're allowed to do it freely.
Yeah, I mean, social media, I think, has made the world a worse place, I've got to tell you. I think some of it is, you know, vile. Some of the, like I said, of people that have so sadly committed suicide and couldn't handle it, yeah, and things like
that. It's a terrible thing when people have to do that.
It is.
And we don't see that can
be... No, it's horrible, absolutely horrible, but... if people could just be nicer, like I said, you never dream of being derogatory, you know, to someone, to their face. Very few people would. I don't understand why people have to talk to them that way, but I'm getting old now.
I don't know where we go. I'm hearing so much, I'm kind of losing track of things. I mean, wanted to talk to you about the development, and I think that's quite key in terms of your expertise. The staffing and how you kind of develop a staffing team around you. Just thinking about, do I have any personal questions for you? I don't have any personal questions for you. I think it's been great. Loads of insight, loads of understanding. Good to chat, really. So thank you. Thank you from all the team that we have here. And hopefully we come again soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please.
Don't forget to like, share and subscribe.